Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Okay,
take
some seat from. I really want that personal price plan. Mr. and Mrs. Alvarez, I save my shrimp tails.
Oh.
I have a whole collection. I keep them in jars under my bed.
You don't need to get that personal. The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
She also plays piano.
Yeah.
With my feet.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or click to get a quote today.
Welcome tonight to our Nativity by the great John Facenda tonight. This is a product of WBNN and Ngozi Time Multimedia. I am your proprietor, Oladele Malewa Ngozi. Now, tonight, we're real proud tonight of a wonderful rendition near and dear to our heart. In 2019, we came up together to do this outstanding piece of Nativity by the one and only great John Facenda. In this area, Philadelphia area, he was the icon. And, of course, with NFL Films, he became an international icon. And we're so proud tonight to be able to give you this outstanding performance. Now, of course, anybody that loved to talk to us at the end of the program, you can dial in wonderfully at 516-453-9133 and just press 1 to join the conversation. And it's brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. So we're going to have a forward, of course, by the wonderful an outstanding Miss Sherry Petito. Let's enjoy the Nativity.
Blog Talk Radio.
Week 17 is upon us, and more than half the teams are vying for playoff position. And with the haves trying to knock off the have-nots this weekend, there's plenty of action to track at BetOnline.net. Then the stage will be set for the pro football playoffs, and BetOnline.net will have odds, lines, and props all the way through the championship. Check out all the action this week at BetOnline.net as the journey to Tampa gets underway. Always available online on your mobile device. Visit BetOnline.net today. Bring the game home at BetOnline.net.
Hello, everyone. This is a product of Beverly Nation. This is our Nativity, brought to you by the legendary broadcaster, John Facenda. A special presentation of Looking Glass Entertainment. On air now from Long Beach, California. You can dial 605-562-0444. Press PIN number 741-4519#. Press 1 pound of listening, guys. Press star 2 to join in. I am your presenter, class of 2019, International Internet Radio Hall of Fame, Jerry Petito enshrining. My reasons for loving John Facenda speaks for itself. He was the voice of God on the airwaves. He started it all for broadcasting. How appropriate to be featuring his nativity tonight. My reasons for loving Christmas also speak for itself. My intentions during this holiday are to simply honor my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was born, who lived, and who died for me and for you. God bless everyone. And now, John Facenda.
Once again, it's time for the story of Christmas. In our world that changes daily with the dawn, we know that this will never change, that always there will be for each of us another dawn of Christmas Day. And with its light would come some small measure of the love and kindness that we owe to one another, some slight feeling of humility and gratitude for the greatest gift the world has ever known, the Son of God, Savior of mankind. Long before the first Christmas, the arrival of the Messiah was foretold in prophecy. Prophecies that have withstood the ravages of history and clearly indicate to us today that the birth of Christ was no accident, but part of a master plan. The prophecies are quite explicit as to time and place and circumstance, and the words where the trumpet sounds to herald the arrival of the new king. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. A star shall rise out of Jacob, and a scepter shall spring up from Israel. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. For behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a king that shall rule my people. And his going forth is from the beginning, from the days of eternity. Oh, yes, Christmas didn't just happen, yet it took place for all people, for all times. It is a happy story, a story of faith, a story of promise. Oh, we have heard it said 1,000 times that Christmas is for children. It is. It is also for those who have retained the innocence of their early years, or who have regained the spirit of their youth. So to all those who are young in heart, here is the story of Christmas, the most beautiful story that's ever been told. Its greatest beauty is that it is true. Nestled in the hills of Galilee, looking out over a small, contented valley of the Holy Land, lies the village of Nazareth, a village marked with renown by both prophecy and history. For here live a man and woman chosen by divine command to give the world the Prince of Peace. Few knew of this sacred secret carried by this couple, Joseph and Mary. Though all hoped that it would come to pass, none dared believe that it could be expressed in the union of a lowly carpenter and his espoused wife. How could they know that an angel of the Lord had spoken to this maid, humble and sincere, holy and saintly, with a word that would set her apart from all other women? Joseph knew all these things, and more. His was the role of protector and provider. Here's the awesome responsibility of being husband and father, and at the same time, being either. Little else is known about this worker of Nazareth, but so much may be correctly assumed concerning him. He had to be a man of understanding, and he was. Gentle, kind, considerate. God's eternal choice of him would seek to imply those qualities, as well as his sanctity. The carpenter was a good and holy man. He had to be. He was Mary's companion in life. Little is known of his beginnings. Like the deep springs that feed a large lake, Joseph's early years are hidden with the darkness, which his future greatness renders all the more beautiful, like the light and dark sides of the moon. This we know. This we know along with one other thing. He was from the house of David. And this proud fact was soon to cause Joseph great concern. Soon he would have to leave his modest dwelling in Nazareth and journey with Mary, who was with child, to Bethlehem, the city of David, some 80 miles distant. Why so long a journey at this critical time in Mary's condition? Joseph, who obeyed every divine wish, was now to comply with a civil command, the decree from Caesar Augustus that all should be in Rome. Since all Judea at the time was under the jurisdiction of Rome, there was nothing for Joseph and Mary to do but register according to the law, a law that required each inhabitant to return to the place from which his family came and there be counted for the purpose of taxation. All this Joseph explained to Mary, who smiled knowingly and said something reassuring. For Joseph left to saddle the donkey, and Mary, alone with her thoughts now, made sure that the tiny things that she had sewn since spring were with the other clothes that she would soon need. She glances for a moment at the comfort of her modest home, and hugging the small bundle, she closes the door and joins Joseph and the donkey, her sole means of travel. She is ready now to begin the journey to Bethlehem, prepared also to fulfill her divine mission. Joseph takes the rein and begins to walk, and the donkey moves with him along the dusty road that leads to the city of David. So it began a long time ago, that journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Three souls, Joseph, Mary, and her soon-to-be infant son, Jesus, and a donkey. This donkey, which must take some special place in the animal world, for the one was chosen to carry the Savior to his place of birth. Beast of burden, yes, of low estate among all creatures, yet fit to transport the king of men. A crooked road this donkey trotted to make straight his path. The terrain was rugged, the weather harsh, and there was need for speed. But travel in those days was a far cry from the conveniences of today. Joseph was rich in blessings, but among them was not the blessing of wealth. Fortunate was he that he could borrow the use of this tiny animal for Mary to ride. How many times must this thought have crossed his troubled mind? Finally, they left the plains of Esdraelon behind and moved into the shadow of Mount Tabor, into Samaria, and at last, Judea. It was late afternoon when the family reached Jerusalem. They were now only 5 miles from Bethlehem. Weariness, however, forced their steps to where Joseph hoped would be rest and comfort. The winter sun had long since sunk behind the hill of Calvary. A chilling wind rustles the leaves in the Garden of Gethsemane, and shadows creep along the road to Bethlehem. Joseph turns his mind to thoughts other than the pressing problem at hand. Deliberately, he thinks of the pastures beside him, in which Ruth long ago gleaned the wheat in the fields of Boaz. In that hollow to the right, outside the gates, brave men had died to bring David a drink of water from the wells of Bethlehem. All around him, the ground where David had played as a child, where he had tended his flocks, and where the prophet Samuel had anointed David king. Joseph's thoughts would be but for a moment with the past, for the present persisted with its own concern. Why had he not stayed in Jerusalem? It would have been easier there to find the quarters that Mary needed so sorely. Even now, life held heavy inside the body of his espoused wife. He must find a place for her to rest. Bethlehem would be filled with those making the journey just like he was. What if there was no shelter to be found? Joseph ignored that thought, but not the sight of the silhouetted families around small campfires beside the road. They too were people, like themselves, who had come for the census. And even now he hears the scattered sounds that tell him that they soon will be there. He halts the donkey and turns as if to speak to Mary. But instead, he smooths the shawl around her yet a little closer. He clasps her hand and she turns her eyes toward him, eyes which hold a gentle entreaty. Hurry, Joseph, hurry. A short wind whips at the little family as they enter the gates of Bethlehem. All around them are the signs of a busy, overcrowded town. Though it's after dark, the streets pulsate with the noise of life. Roman soldiers walk in groups, their strange ways and language mingling with the cries and the sounds of the beggars and peddlers, big, rough-looking men, their eyes flashing with the look of men hundreds of miles from home. Night has settled firmly, and there seems to be even more confusion. The whole atmosphere has that particular urgency that marks the behavior of large crowds away from home, that by shoving more forcefully or shouting more loudly, they may gain an advantage over others. Bethlehem this night will bring little rest to people crowded within its walls. Joseph tightens his grasp of the rein and moves closer to Mary's side as they guide themselves through the maze of people down the narrow streets. Streets that seem strange to Joseph, yet he knew them, for his last visit was not that long ago. He did remember, for there is the courtyard that leads to the inn. His steps quicken as they pace those of the tired animal. Here will they find rest. Here renew their strength, renew their spirits for that which is to come. All thumbs are his efforts to tether the donkey among the other beasts that crowd the courtyard. But tenderly do the gnarled hands assure his young wife that everything will be all right now that they are at the inn. The darkness of the night stretches out beyond the town and up into the hills above it. Here there is the calm of night, with only now and then a single softened sound to break the stillness. There is no value to a moment here. Time has come and gone, and will come and go again. The seasons bring their change, but the rhythm of the centuries long ago had subdued the land. All is at peace on this hillside. The evening air carries a haunting melody from a shepherd's reed, an ancient melody that lingers in echo as the player lays it aside to stir the small fire at his feet. As if by signal, another lonely shepherd merges into the firelight from the shadows around it. They know the night, these men. Nights without number have they spent just so, as their father's father before them. Night with its eternal waiting, waiting for the least disturbance among their flocks, waiting for a storm to end as quickly as it arose so that the gray cluster of sheep would be one again, waiting always for the dawn to come. They would talk, these men, talk of many things while they waited. How would they fare at ewing time? Perhaps a change of grazing ground next year. Taxes being what they were, they would just have to raise more and heavier sheep, that's all. And then occasionally, they would banter back and forth on the merits of right and wrong in the way that men live and die. But not this night. Did the talk concern sheep and man's lot in this world? They were pensive, So too seem the sheep. Unusual? Yes. But that star, high in the heavens, that too was most unusual. Never had one seen a star so bright, so near, and getting closer and closer. What is it, man? What is it? When the angel appeared, one of the shepherds had been dozing. He rubbed his eyes as if to erase the thin traces of a dream, but they would not erase. It was an angel, or surely what an angel must be. The angel was speaking now. Each looked in wonderment. Each looked about quickly to see if the other saw the vision. One look, and they knew an angel was speaking to them. And then the dark sky closed about them, except for that compelling star. If you had been there, you would have had no question. This was a star so bright, it almost took your hand and led you to the holy place. And the shepherds, accustomed to leading sheep, were being led to the great shepherd, the master plan again, the all-knowing, wanting the simplest of men to be the first to know. The prophecies are falling one by one. Soon the world would stand still and start again, but never be the same. The world did stand still and started again, but it's never been the same since that moment in time when the Christian era began with his birth. If we no longer can thrill to the tale of Bethlehem, then it is we who have changed. The story of the Nativity has not. The same then, the same now. Age perhaps has cluttered up our lives with trivialities and selfishness. We, perhaps, are the crowded ends. Turn back, we must always, to the birth of that promise, the essential splendor and the real reason of the Nativity. Loveliness found in squalor, beauty discovered in ugliness, glory without pomp. The great gift of Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is the real meaning of Christmas, the real gift. It would not be complete until 33 years later, on a hilltop 5 miles to the north, on a spring afternoon, when the world would tremble. But it began in Bethlehem. So once upon a time, many, many years ago, in a distant land far across the sea, one wintry night, a troubled man knocks at an innkeeper's door. This man's name is Joseph. By his side, weak and weary, is his wife. Her face and clothes are blended in one color, the gray grime of dusty roads. She has traveled much. Her mantle frames her face in pale loveliness. In the moonlight, she is silhouetted with the round, tragic beauty of one who is about to bring life into the world. God has given her his greatest gift, but now she's deprived of ordinary blessings. She who is to be remembered as blessed among women seems forgotten. God has willed that she be his mother, that her flesh and blood be his flesh and blood, that her body form his body. Now beneath her heart The Son of God has shelter. She has none. Within her he rests. She no place to lay her head. He dwells in her. She has no dwelling place. She is the house of God, but she herself is homeless. Her name is Mary. Worn and worried, Joseph waits. At other doors he has knocked. He has seen them open. He has heard them close. The night is no longer young, and lodging must be found. This is the final inn. There are no other doors on which to rap. This is the end of the search for a room. The door opens a tiny crack. Light and warmth ooze out into the dark, cold air. The request is again made. Please, a night's shelter, especially tonight. The reply is quick, almost curt. There is no room in the inn. So past the houses and inns walk the humble pair. Two lonely figures casting lonely night shadows on the lonely street. Out of the city of David they go. Into the fields of David they come. Here there will be none to offer them shelter, but here none will refuse them. Through the meadows, down the hollows, along the hillsides, Mary and Joseph plod their weary, winding way. Time is a tyrant. Time is intolerant. Who can delay death by 2 minutes or block a birth by one? Already the Blessed Lady feels the Lord of her life, the fruit of her womb, struggling within her in his search for birth. Then suddenly and sadly, they see what is to become the most famous nursery in the whole world. Its fame would come from him who is to be born there, in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed of princes. To the homeless, any roof is a shelter. Joseph must hurry and prepare, for the hour is at hand. He cannot waste time in worries and wonderings. He cannot fret and frown with what might have been. He has to fix and furnish what has to be. A lantern is lighted. A fire started. A cleansed manger becomes a cradle. Fresh straw, a mattress. Swaddling bands, an infant layette. All is ready. The stars have lighted the heavenly candles. The wind whispers the secret to the grass and trees, and they bow down in awe. All nature awaits the splendid moment when its maker will enter this world through a door of flesh. No other creature ever had so many and such reverent guardians. Angels anxiously watch this lovely pair. Heaven has eyes but for Mary and Joseph. These two and no more. Then the marvel of man, the miracle of birth. There are no longer two. There are three. For here in the manger, here on the straw, here wrapped snugly in swaddling clothes, lies the child. Our thoughts and words, but now thoughts have outgrown their crackings. He kneels in the straw and adores. The face of the maid is a vision of bliss. Her hands reach out for her son. Her fingers gently clasp his frail flesh. Her bosom becomes his pillow. Her warm embrace, his blanket of love. Both already marked with a crown of thorns. Truly can it be said of this mother, she holds heaven in her arms. Now, not our lips, but our hearts must speak. We must be like shepherds who come to worship. We must be like wise men who kneel to adore. We must be like children in awe. Such is the story of Christmas. Once upon a time, many, many years ago, in a distant land far across the sea, one wintry night, the Son of God became a child of man. Now because of him, if we but choose, we all may live happily ever after. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin, and I'm encouraging you to remember that Christmas is not just a time where we give gifts and receive gifts. It's a time of remembering that the greatest gift has already been given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the gift that was given to us over 2,000 years ago. That gift is still available to each and every one of us. So to those of you who think that Christmas is just a time of, you know, celebrating with lights and family, never forget that the gift of love was already given. So for any of you that is out there tonight, and you have neglected the gift of love, I want to share with you tonight that this gift is available to you. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, who was just narrated by John the Sender, if you want to receive the greatest gift ever to be given, all you have to do is simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I'm Pastor Kevin Perry, and I'm hoping that each and every one of you have an awesome Christmas and an even greater new year. But it all starts but receiving the greatest gift ever given. Thank you for listening tonight. We love you, and we pray that you have an awesome Christmas. Thank you for listening.
To show you how easy...
All right, folks, that show was from December 17th, 2019. The Nativity, given to you by one of the greatest announcers that ever lived, Mr. John Facenda. Now, we're not going to hold people up tonight. If you want to speak to me, please, in the next 1 minute, press one, and we'll put you right into queue. But we want to thank Pastor Kevin Perry for giving his time tonight for the Nativity. And we try to do this every year. Even if we did not have a slot, this show would have been played on Saturday. I'm glad we didn't have to do that. Thank you, Pastor Kevin Perry, and all of us around, for those who celebrate Merry, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Announcing Gozy Time by my commissioner, Dr. Chinchilla J.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother Earl. And that was wonderful listening to that with Jerry Petito with the forward and the late, great John Facenda. Wow, that was awesome, the Nativity story. And, of course, Pastor Kevin Perry with the invitation to discipleship and all. What a wonderful, wonderful classic tonight, and thank you, Pastor Perry. WBNN has advertising doing Gozy Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at @Ngozi_time and Oladele Malewa Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mothers and fathers' favorite producer, Oladele Malewa Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Stay tuned for News Forum. By 2022, WBNN Host of the Year, Dr. Chinchilla J, and that's me, of course, this Sunday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on WBNN, or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. This Sunday night will, of course, be the final News Forum for the year of 2022, and it just happens to fall on Christmas Day, well, Christmas night, and we're going to have a Christmas News Forum special. So make sure you tune in because we're going to be hearing from some wrongfully incarcerated inmates, their wives, their husbands, their children, their parents, to find out how it affects them during this time of the year. And we're also going to have a little brief segment on an event that occurred this past week with grandparent abuse by teenagers. And it's just horrendous, everybody. Things are getting out of control with these young people, and it has to stop. And this is the holiday season, as they say, 'tis the season to be jolly. This is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, and for a grandparent to be abused by grandchildren that she has been taking care of, it's just unfathomable, people. It's really ridiculous out here. And so just stay tuned Sunday night, everybody, and be safe out there traveling to your family's homes, those of you that are traveling by vehicle, train, or plane, or bus. However you're traveling, be safe, drive carefully and cautiously, and have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Now, back to International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Lifetime Achiever, Oladele Malewa Ngozi.
Thank you, Commissioner. And that story is tragic. You know, someone that shared love to you and you abuse. Now, there has been some, you know, parents or grandparents that have been abusive to kids when they were younger. And I'm hoping that's not a story of reap what you sow, but I don't think that is with this case with what Commissioner is trying to bring upon a news forum on Sunday night. To all of you out there, tomorrow is Christmas Eve, and again, I want to say, you know, Merry Christmas to all who celebrate Christmas. Happy Hanukkah to all who are our wonderful Jews who listen to our program, as well as, of course, what I celebrate, Happy Kwanzaa to all of the people, descendants of the African diaspora. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladela Malewin, goes and saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. I also want to thank State Farm for being part of our ad tonight. That would be the only advertisement tonight. My good neighbor, you know the rest.
Okay, Jason State Farm, I really want that personal price plan. Mr. and Mrs. Alvarez, I save my shrimp tails.
Oh.
I have a whole collection. I keep them in jars under my bed.
You don't need to get that personal. The State Farm personal price plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
She also plays piano.
Yeah.
With my feet.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or click to get a...